If getting to work means that you're stuck sitting in traffic jams, our latest contributor to The Next Idea could have the answer to that gridlock dilemma. And while it's doing that, it could also help reduce the carbon emissions that are causing climate change. The solution, hydropower. Lawrence Dolph is here. He's a business consultant who has worked with automakers, and for the past 12 years, his company, RFD Insight, has been turning around failing Michigan companies, and he says it's without workers having to lose their jobs. Lawrence, good to have you with us on The Next Idea.
A pleasure to be here. This is a great series.
Well, in your essay, you write that the future of innovation lies in our ability to, in your words, leverage the intersections of many parts. What do you mean by that?
Well, Michigan is full of incredible diversity in agriculture and timber and manufacturing and technical knowledge. Really, everything that once made us the richest state in the Union is still here. We've kind of forgotten about it, and we've forgotten about how to make it interact.
When you say everything, meaning?
Well, the iron is still here, the copper is still here, above all, the water is still here. The concentration of technical expertise is still here. The manufacturing know-how is still here. We are the rapid prototyping center of the world, still. We're about the smartest place on the planet when it comes to engineering.
Your next idea came as you were searching for site locations on behalf of an auto parts manufacturer, and you noticed as you were doing that, a lot of small towns in mid and southeast Michigan had some things in common. What did you notice?
For one thing, they all are built on rivers. When they all dammed those rivers in the 19th century, first for grist mills and sawmills, and then those dams were converted to hydropower, largely by Henry Ford in our area, and multiple towns have them. In addition, these towns have infrastructure that supports the auto industry. So there's old manufacturing buildings that are still serviceable. They're on railroads. There's plenty of power going into these towns and lines coming out.
So your idea was?
The auto industry is really going to be a threat as we have to cut carbon emissions or the environment falls apart. So take this expertise and build another product that is consistent with our skill and our knowledge and our materials. Build it for both our local use, but also build it to ship it out globally. And the idea is that we harness the hydroelectric power that is still available. The water is simply power that is there, and when you put it behind a dam, it is self-storing. There are no batteries required, and you can turn it on and turn it off to whatever extent you want. So you have the power. All these towns have railroad conduits. Michigan had an incredibly elaborate railroad system that was fully in place by 1900, absolutely at its peak by 1940. Many of those lines are gone, but the rights of way, the corridors, are still there. And laying down railroad track is a fifth the cost of laying down highways and will carry 400 times more people than a superhighway. You have the opportunity to move huge numbers of people down a hydroelectrical-powered railroad track. Modern rail cars, which we can build in Michigan, would have Wi-Fi, but they would also charge smart cars, smart electric cars, so your car is getting charged on the journey. And because there's Wi-Fi, you log in when you get onto the railroad car. In other words, if you choose, you're at work once you're on the railroad car. And instead of losing 8 to 10 hours a week in a stupid gridlock commute, which is what we're doing now, you are working from the time you leave and you're working on the way home. If you choose, you can also nap if you'd rather do that or play games. So the stress goes out of our life.
And you point out in your essay, Michigan, we saw this with the interurban rail cars, so we were doing this.
We were. Ironically, General Motors bought up all those systems and shut them down so people would buy cars. But now General Motors, Ford, Chrysler, all of our automotive citizens are in a position to help us build rail cars and restore that system.
Because we're seeing a broadening of their interest to not just putting people behind the wheel of a car, but to transportation systems.
Exactly. We're getting 81% of our energy from fossil fuels. We're going to have to cut emissions dramatically. But we're also, and probably equally important, we're going to have to become more efficient. Trains are simply much more efficient for freight and for people than cars and trucks.
So you're really seeing this idea of this network of electric trains that could connect all these great small towns to the big high-paying cities all through Michigan.
Absolutely. Grand Rapids, Ann Arbor, to name two centers, are surrounded by a number of small towns with these rail corridors and the opportunity to generate the power. In this vision, you have your smart car with you, so when you arrive at your major city and job, you have personal transportation available. And back home, you've got that personal transportation available. But between the two, you don't worry about deer or snowstorms, or the stress of driving.
Help me understand where the smart car fits in.
Well, it's an electric car.
Right, but so if I'm taking the electric train.
Well, once you're arriving in Grand Rapids, you may want to run around Grand Rapids or mm-hmm. Ann Arbor. So you could take Uber, and there could be other transportation in place. But the smart car gives you the opportunity to have total freedom as you would today. The grind that you have that's predictable, that's undesirable, is the commute. It's the same route. It's the same gridlock. It's the same loss day after day. Let's lose that part.
You're saying drive the smart car to the station, leave it there, take the train, then take an Uber while you're in the town, and then your car is waiting for you to charge when you get back?
That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Now, bear in mind, the big idea here is not this hydropowered rail system, but the way to look at leveraging the interactions we have to get us through what's going to be otherwise a collapse of the auto industry.
Go ahead.
The auto industry is 50% of Michigan's economy right now. You talk to their own senior executives, and they'll tell you the automated car is going to reduce car sales. Cutting carbon emissions is going to reduce car sales. And the millennials are already not buying cars. I mean, mm-hmm. Houston, we have a problem.
Mm-hmm. So the idea of let's look at using all the infrastructure and components for this idea of hydroelectric powered trains connecting Michigan. You see this solving a lot of problems, but there are a lot of ideas out there for different mass transit systems, Lawrence, and a lot of them are held back by worries over cost or people's desire to do it themselves and travel independently. So how does your idea differ?
First off, the electric trains that we would build and all the components that would support it, including low-loss transmission lines, is a global product. And it is energy agnostic, so it can be powered by coal-fired plants or wind turbines or solar. It just in Michigan, we have this unique advantage of water. I would not take the water part to Lubbock, Texas, but I would take the trains to Lubbock, Texas. But it would be built here in Michigan with advanced features, all the things we know about comfort and convenience. The auto industry is a huge, huge repository of brilliant ideas about packaging and moving humans.
Now, you presented your idea at Public a few years ago. Where did you present that, and I'm wondering what the reaction was?
Well, I shopped it around in 2008, and people weren't ready for it because they hadn't seen the crisis. A lot of denial of climate change. Now people's homes are being flattened by winds, people are being flooded, and it's only just begun. So we basically have a choice of either essentially getting wiped out by the weather in large parts of the country with mass and voluntary migrations, which is what's happening in the Middle East right now that's driven by drought, mass involuntary migrations, or we're going to suffer an economic catastrophe because we will not be able to have the energy we need to run our system because we're going to have to shut down the traditional ways of doing it. So we have to come up with alternate ways, of which hydroelectric power is just one.
What do you say to folks who say this idea is still too out there to work? Do you think now, with kind of the perspective that's changed since 2008, do you think you can convince people it's not too out there?
Here's what the International Energy Agency says about meeting the carbon reduction goals that we set in Paris. We're going to need 35 coal-fired and 20 gas-fired power plants with carbon capture and storage, 30 nuclear power plants, 12,000 onshore wind turbines paired with 3,600 offshore ones, 45 geothermal power plants, 325 million square meters of photovoltaics, and 55 solar-powered thermal plants built each year between now and 2050. That's what the International Energy Agency says. So when you look at the cost of that, and also that it's probably not going to happen, we have to give up on what I call dismal analysis, and we have to engage in what I call entrepreneurial analysis. We take what's available to us, and as creative entrepreneurial people with particular expertise, we make it happen.
Lawrence Dahl's essay is at the next idea page at michiganradio.org. We really welcome your comments and thoughts in the comments section there or at Michigan Radio's Facebook page, or as always on Twitter, at Next Idea MI. Fascinating essay, great ideas, and it was really great to talk with you, Lawrence Dahl. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Cindy.